year when many people, including myself, look forward to. It's a time of year when seasons change and a calmness sets in, isn't it? I mean, to me, there's nothing that beats this type of season. A crispness of the cool air, leaves falling, and along the freshness of spirit that it brings to many people. And God does things to amaze people through the change of seasons. But in today's passage, he amazes a man in a different way. And turn with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 5 in your Bibles, and we'll start with verse 1. And while you're turning there, we'll be talking about fishing today. But on one fine spring Sunday, a pastor, he was gazing out of his window. And out of his window, he could see a nearby trout stream. And he thought today would be a good day to sneak off and go fishing. And he had just strung his new fly rod with new string. And he had a very recently heard that the trout run was good in the area. And his associate pastor was more than ready to handle the congregation. So within minutes, the congregation was underway and the pastor was quietly sneaking out the back door of the church, heading down that stream with rod and reel in hand. And he didn't go unobserved, though, because an angel was watching every move, and the angel went straight to God. And the angel said, "Hey, that pastor, he lied so he could sneak away and go fishing," the angel said to God. And smiling, God said, "So the old pastor, he finally gave in to that temptation, did he?" The angel nodded and he said, "Should I alert the congregation and so allow him to be caught?" And God said, "No, let's give him some privacy. Let's give him his privacy." And so the angel said, should I command the fishes to avoid him so he should get skunked and so he won't catch anything that day?" the angel said. And God said calmly, "No, we want the pastor to catch something. In fact, we want him to catch the largest trout in the stream and to take the bait. And we want the pastor to have the fight of his life today." Well, confused but loyal, the angel did as God instructed. And within minutes, the pastor, he hooked this massive trout, and this fight was spectacular. The pastor was using every trick in his book to successfully land this trout. He loosened the drag so this giant fish couldn't snap the line. And he slowly walked the bank up and down and the other, allowing this huge fish to tire out. Finally, after an exhausting 10-minute fight with this trout, this massive trout cruised in on the shore, and this proud pastor, he finally scooped this fish up in his net. The angel quickly turned to God and he said, "Should I make a hole in the net so the fish can just fall out and fall on the stream?" And God said, no, calm. He said, "The pastor will release the fish. Don't worry about it." Angel said, "What?" He said, "The pastor lands the biggest fish that he's ever caught and probably ever will catch in his life." And the angel said, "Forgive me, God." He said, "You actually expect him to release this massive trout he just caught?" Smiling, God said, yes. He said, "The pastor is supposed to be in church. He can't carry the giant fish in church. And he certainly can't talk about it to anyone." So yes, God chooses to amaze us, because he always has a plan, and he always knows what's going on. And he always lets us get away with things sometimes, even if we think we know what we're doing. But in today's passage, we're going to look at how God amazes Peter with a catch of his life. Let's look at it in verses 5 through 11, 1 through 11. "Now it came about, while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered and said, 'Master, We worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your bidding, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For the amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon and Jesus, said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they had left everything and followed him. Y'all had heard this passage of Scripture before. It's probably nothing new to you. But Simon Peter is the head of the Zebedee Fishing Corporation. He's partners with James and John, who are the sons of Zebedee. And they have a fishing business in the Sea of Galilee. And it was interesting researching this passage, how fishermen fish while on the Sea of Galilee, where this story is found in the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5. Jesus Christ was centering on Peter, as he often did, as the centerpiece of the lesson he wants us to learn. And he tells Peter to get in a boat. And he pushes out away, a few feet away from the shore, so that he could talk to people from the boat. The boat being his pulpit, he would speak to people from the boat. And Jesus gets up and he teaches the people. After teaching the people, he giving them his Sunday sermon, if you will, the lesson for the day. And in verse 4, he introduces what always happens after a sermon, an opportunity for application. You see, Jesus knew that information is never enough. Simply hearing about the Word of God, simply learning about the Word of God, just simply getting truth, while it's important, it's never sufficient for your life. It won't help you just to simply know. It must be information applied, not just information gathered or just understood. Therefore, opportunities must be available for you to hear in order for it to be implemented, for it to stick. In order for you to see how it'll work. In order for you to know it's not just a theory, but it's practical. So he tells Simon, he says, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." So first of all, you got to understand who's asking. Because he wants to tell Simon Peter, this is a practical application in real life. And so you have this carpenter. He's telling a fisherman how to fish. Jesus, who's the son of Joseph, as his earthly father, and Joseph was a carpenter. He builds furniture, he puts wood up in houses. That's his expertise. Jesus Christ grew up in a carpenter shop. He didn't grow up on a fisherman's wharf. Jesus Christ says, "Peter, what I want you to do is I want you to cast your nets." That's the first problem. The second problem is I want you to go out into deep water and cast your nets for a catch. Now, hearing that, you might want to read verse 5 here and just move on. But you need to understand what Jesus is asking. He says, "Peter, what I want you to do is cast your nets." And then he says, "I want you to go out into deeper water and cast your nets." You see, Galilean fishermen who fish by the net, they don't go out into the deep water in the daytime. They go into the shallow water in the nighttime. It's at night, it's in the shallow water, where they catch the masses of fish in the Galilean Sea. So we have a problem here. We have a guy who doesn't know the first thing about a fishing. He's a carpenter telling the president of the Zebedee Fishing Corporation how to do his job. Totally contrary to all the rules of the professional fishing in that region. Peter, in verse 5, he responds, Simon Peter said, "Master, I'm going to respect you. We worked hard all night." Why? Because that's when fishermen fish. "We worked hard all night and we caught nothing. But verse 5 says, because at your bidding, because you made the request, we're going to do this for you. I'll let down the nets." Now, at the first first reading this, you might think you're reading, "Jesus, we've been doing this all night. We've caught nothing, and I'm going to trust you." But let me tell you what he's really saying. And I'll prove it to you in just a moment. What he's really saying is this: "Jesus, carpenter, we know what we're doing. Jesus, you stick to your preaching. That's what you know. I'm a business fisherman. I've been doing this a long time, and there are no fish biting. Jesus, however, just to humor you, just to let you see, when it comes to fishing, you leave that to me. And to let you know that you're out of your league here, I'm going to humor you, and I'm going to go let down our nets." And verse 6 says, when he had done this, he enclosed a great quantity of fish. How many fish? A break your nets kind of fish. Now, I don't know how many that is, but it's more than they've ever caught before. Not only did their nets begin to break, he had to call his partners in from another boat. Verse 7 says, he signaled to his partners, he said, "Help me." And they filled their boats so much that they began to sink. Now talk about seeing God move and how he can amaze your mind. Talk about seeing a breakthrough and seeing more than you've ever expected. This is it. And Peter did what God said, even though, and you'll see this in a minute with your tongue in cheek, he got more than what he bargained for. And you and I will face a fork in the road where you and I will have to make a decision. Do I trust God enough? When it goes against what all you and I think, and what you feel, and what you've experienced in the past, no matter how successful you've been, no matter how much it's worked for you and I, or whether it hasn't worked at all, and even though you've tried it all night before, and I'll still throw down my nets. And it doesn't make sense. You know, some would call that blind faith. You know, when you can't see what it is, some would call that blind faith. But, you know, it's not blind faith necessarily. Just to throw down your nets because somebody tells you, when your experience tells you that's not the way to go, that's blind faith. It's never blind faith when you know the person telling you. You can pull off anything he instructs you to do. You might have to act contrary to what you think you know. Simon Peter, in verse 8, saw it. He saw it as catch a fish, the likes of which he'd never saw in his natural life since he started the Zebedee Fishing Corporation. And when he saw what just happened, he fell down at the Lord Jesus' feet and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Here's a message here if you're listening. Because that's an interesting response to a big blessing. I mean, think about it. We're talking about a big blessing here that he just received. I mean, a big blessing enough to where you can discuss where you're going on vacation next year type of blessing with all the fish that he just caught. Because after we sell all these fish, we're going to be into the big time money. But that's not what Peter does. He falls down at Jesus' feet and says to him, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Why does he do that? What did this breakthrough say to Peter? What affected this man so much that instead of praising him, instead of calling all of his friends and shouting, "Hey, hey, look what God just did for me," he says, "Leave here. It doesn't fit." Verse 9 explains it. Verse 9 says, "For amazement had seized him." Amazement had gripped him and all of his companions because of the catch they had taken. What shocked him? That Jesus knew what he was talking about. Why was he shocked? Because he didn't believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about. But when he discovered that Jesus knew what he was talking about, he was amazed. Henceforth, the song Amazing Grace. You remember that song? Let me put it another way. When he came face to face with God, when he understood he is not dealing with just a carpenter, a religious figure, a great man. You see, when you look in the face of Jesus Christ, you're looking in the face of an omnipotent God. A God who made the fish, a God who made the water, who made the sea, who made the wood that the boat's made of, who can tell you where the fish are hanging out at any given time. You're looking in the face of an omnipotent God. He saw his sin, and he was amazed that even in his sin, God could bless him with all of those fish. And that's why the song Amazing Grace is so powerful. That God can amaze us, how he can bless us when we are still in our sin. Now let me tell you what most of us would have done. Most of us would have done, and this is why Peter, with all his mistakes in the Bible, is such a great man. I can see you and me and now in the Sea of Galilee, floating along with the wind in our hair, for those of you that have it. We look at those fish, and we would say, "Let me get a calculator. Let's see. We got 101, 102, let's see, 5,000 fish here. They go for about $2 a piece. That's 10,000 fish. Look up at Jesus over there. Okay, we got to give $1,000. God's got to get his tithe. Let's see, that's $9,000 left. We would be counting the fish. Come on, tell the truth. We would be counting the fish. We would be totally absorbed in the blessing. We would be overwhelmed by the blessing that we just received. We'd be calling our brothers and sisters. We'd be calling poor little Jan, our prayer minister over here, saying, "Hey, let me tell you what God just blessed me with. Hallelujah." Peter said, "More than the blessing, what just happened in my boat tells me much more about the blessor. In fact, it tells me much more about me. I thought I was ace fisherman. I thought I was par excellence. But in the face of Jesus Christ, all I see is my sin." And when God comes through, if you can ever get distracted from the blessing long enough to look at the blessor, you see, everybody wants a blessing and everybody wants a breakthrough. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus wants to amaze you for a much deeper reason. a much deeper reason. And He wants to bless you, and He wants you to understand who He is just a little bit deeper and a little bit more. And so Peter says, depart from me. Somebody's got to leave here because I'm a sinful man. God's going to surprise a bunch of you in the months to come. Not because you have great faith, but even with the tongue in cheek, you're going to throw your nets down. And some of you say, I don't think this is going to work. But just in case, I'm going to go out and praise Him anyway. And God's going to let you catch something just because you obeyed, even though you weren't quite convinced. But the danger will be that you focus so much on the blessing that you don't miss the reason why God blesses you. You ever see parents when they first take pictures of their toddlers when they start to walk? It's an amazing sight. I mean, you'd think someone would have landed on the moon or something when you first see these. Especially if you're on social media, you see it plastered all over Facebook or Twitter. I mean, it's amazing. They go bananas when something they have created between the two of them takes those first steps. They go nuts. But let me tell you, where you'll always find those parents when they're amazed at those first steps. You'll find them on their knees with their hands out toward that toddler. And when God amazes you, you ought to hit your knees with your hands out. Brothers and sisters, do you understand who you're dealing with? An omnipotent God, when you look Him in the face, Jesus Christ. It'd be nice if the story ended right here. I mean, we've got a great lesson in all with the fishes. God chooses to amaze us, not merely so we can enjoy the blessing. God chooses to amaze us so that we can look at Him differently. But I have a curveball to throw at you. In verses 10 and 11 here in our text, so James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, Jesus says to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Him. I read that too fast. Let me slow down and let me focus on verse 11 word by word. Let's think about "and" for a minute. And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything. Now I can hear some of us right now. God didn't give me this blessing to leave it right here. God didn't give me this money to leave it. God didn't give me this brand new house to leave it. God didn't give me this brand new car just to leave it behind. God didn't give me this promotion at work just to walk away from it. God used this blessing to take them somewhere else. He didn't use the blessing just simply to embellish their careers or to enhance their reputation. Peter, James, John, if you stay here, all you're going to do for the rest of your life is count dead fish. That's all you'll do. On your best day, you'll be counting dead fish. On your biggest harvest day, all you got is dead fish. I didn't bless you just to keep you on this wharf. I showed you a blessing so that you could look at me differently, because you and me are going somewhere else. And I'm going to take you there. The reason, gentlemen, I amazed you is I want you to follow me. Now, does that mean He wants all of you to leave your jobs and become preachers and missionaries? Certainly. That's why Jesus said, "He who wishes to become my disciple must leave worldliness behind, pick up my cross, and become a light to the world and others around you. The problem is so many people take that literal and not eternal. That's why you got a lot of bad preachers out there. They think they want to leave everything behind and become a preacher or a missionary, and they don't understand that Jesus Christ wants us to become preachers at work. Where we're at, in our lifestyle, who we are. Mama says, I want to become a preacher. And they're not really called to become a preacher. They're just called to become a preacher in their lifestyle. God calls you and you and you and you and you to become and follow Him. If you notice, James and John didn't fall down at Jesus' feet the way Peter did. Didn't affect him the same. But they still followed him. Affected Peter a totally different way. But they still were a light to the world. If you notice, the rest of the disciples didn't fall down. Now, here's what most of us would have done, though. We would have said, hey, Jesus, come here. You are now a member of the... If you sign here, I got this pen. If you sign here, you are now a member of the Zebedee Fishing Corporation. You automatically get 25% of everything we take in. We can use you, Jesus. You are now an important part of this company and a strategic part of this organization. We're going to give you the biggest office. We're going to give you a company car. Jesus, you are the man. What else you want? Whatever perks and benefits. We got health benefits. Whatever you want, you can have it. We can use a man like you. So we would have said whenever we saw all of this stuff, Jesus, follow me. We want to include you in our program. Jesus does not amaze you so he can follow you. He told Peter, the reason I amazed you is so that you can follow me. So that you can bring your world into my world, not my world into your world. We're going to catch something that doesn't die. And you and I are going to catch men. And we're going to let the dead folk catch dead fish. So that you're going to go out of here and do something bigger. Jesus makes it clear the reason he amazes you and I is so that we can get over to his program and not keep on with ours. You know, there's a difference between being a light in the place that you work and then just being totally consumed with your work. Your head buried in your work all the time. Look up and notice the people around you. There's people around you in your workplace that are hurting, that need the light of the world. And I'm not talking about you shouting the word of God into them and offending them and just making them feel uncomfortable, but just look up and let God see through your eyes and let Him draw you near. It'll be amazing what He may use you for. Many of us are saying, Lord, give me a breakthrough so I can be happy. Give me a breakthrough so I can have more. And there's nothing wrong with you being happy. There's nothing wrong with you having more. Just make sure that you're not asking Him to follow you. Because He may have something else planned. You may have your dreams and desires, but He may have something planned a lot bigger for you. And all He's going to bless you for is just to get your attention. But not on the stuff. Because there's a problem. That's the problem with coming to church all the time and looking for a blessing. It's not wrong that you're looking for a blessing, but it's everything wrong when the blessing is so big that we forget about the blessor. God wants to amaze you and I, and so that you and I see Him. Please notice in closing that there are no details up front. There's no details. He doesn't say that we're going to A, B, C, D, and E. He didn't sit down with the disciples and said, okay, now that you're going to follow me, here's what we're going to do. Here's my outline for the program. No, we're going to have to walk by faith on this one, brothers and sisters. And hopefully what you learned about the fish today will let you know that God knows what He's doing, where He's going, and how He's going to get there. And the evidence is this, that He changed the world. And it started with someone who thought he wasn't worthy to be in the presence of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just think of what He can do with you and I in the coming months and years. It's going to be a walk of faith in the coming months and years as you get used to the new shepherds here at Prayer of Faith. But it's going to be all right because God wants to amaze you. A blind girl one day was caught in a fire. She's blind, engulfed by fire on the 10th floor of an apartment building. Fire was raging around her. She was terrified and scared. She could make her way to the window, but she couldn't see anything. She smells smoke. She feels the heat of the fire around her. The fireman down below yells, "Jump! Jump!" And she cries back. She says, I can't jump. I'm scared to jump. I can't see around me. The fireman yells back. He says, "Jump. If you don't jump, you're going to die. Take a risk and jump." It's bad enough to jump from 10 stories high. But when you can't see where you're jumping to, that's just sheer terror. In the midst of the chaos and confusion, smoke all around her, the heat of the fire, she hears the sirens below. She heard another voice through all of that. The voice she heard was, "Darling, I'm here. I got you. Jump." She smiled and said, "Okay, Daddy. Because it's you, I'm going to jump." Jesus Christ is inviting you today to jump. Will you do it? Cast your nets and jump. Stand with me today as we sing. Today, as you cast your nets, as you want to jump in faith, whatever it is, do it in faith. Look in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and see an omnipotent God who wants to amaze you. Amaze yourself today by looking in His face. If you need prayer today, come up and pray. If you need healing today, come up and pray. Whatever it is, whatever God is placing on your heart today, don't hesitate. Jump. Cast out your net. Don't hesitate. Let God bless you today.
Like a hurricane, I am a tree.
People are praying today. People are receiving healing today. People are casting their nets down today. And we thank God for that. And I would just challenge you to do that too. Coming weeks, days, months, cast your net down. Jump. God is a good God. And He wants to bless you. Bless you in a mighty way. I challenge you with that. God bless you all. Join me in prayer. Father, we just love you so much. Father, when we look into your eyes, just a mighty thing. We just melt in your presence to see the designer of our soul, of our spirit, to see how much you love us. How much you bless us in spite of who we are and what we've done. That you can love us so much. Know how you love us. Know how you love us. And what price you paid for us on that cross to give us eternal life. For wretches such as us. That we would come to you. Place our faith in you. To become your children. That you would lift us up. To give us eternal life through you. By simply placing our trust in you. What amazing grace that is. Father, please guide us and direct us this week as we learn to place that faith more stronger and to cast our nets. And as we place that faith and grow stronger in you, as you bless us and want to show us more things, as we learn to follow you, become more intentional in following you. Guide us and direct us this week. We ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.